WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number two of the program here on Thursday morning. And you heard in the news there, Mike Roberts talking about the closure of GameStop stores in Massachusetts, including the one in Dartmouth. And here's the thing that I find interesting about these GameStop closures. Now, obviously, GameStop is a, you know, corporate entity, a publicly traded entity. And so they don't really have the benefit in answering to shareholders to say, well, let's hold off and see what happens, because the tide seems to be turning back toward physical media. I don't think that they can afford to do that. However, I will say that when it comes to video games, it is part of this move toward actually having physical media again. So who did GameStop make its, you know, build its success off of? Gamers, right? People who wanted to play the latest and greatest games, get their hands on the latest systems. And then as that kind of staved off, because you started to get more digital downloads, you know, people didn't have to come in once they bought the system. They didn't have to come in to buy the game anymore. They could just connect to the PlayStation Network, the Xbox Network, and get their games digitally. And many people prefer that, because you can get them instantly, you can get them the day they come out. There are all kinds of different reasons. And so GameStop started bringing in other things to sell. Funko Pops, you know, other collectibles, things like that. And that helped for a little while. But even that market has now gone down. And the other part of it is it's also become oversaturated. You want to get a Funko Pop, go to the mall. Walk in and see how many stores carry them. You know, you can find those, depending on what you're looking for, in just about any store. You can find them in the clearance section of stores. And Funko is having its own issues, too. So there's always, you know, always a trend that you can jump on, but you got to realize that that's only going to last a little while. You know, GameStop's main bread and butter was selling video games and video game systems. And that was something that, you know, you didn't have to buy a new system. When was the last time a new system came out? Well, I guess the Switch too. But, you know, it's not as fast and furious as it was. And the games are something people are buying digitally. And so you just have these shelves of physical games that are just sitting there. People already, for years before all of this, had been complaining about what they paid when you tried to sell them old games or old systems. So there was already some signs there that things weren't going to go great. But I went to Plymouth on Saturday and was walking around on Main Street and visiting some of the local businesses there. And there's a small independent store, a game store called Bowser's Basement. And I walked into there and kind of walked around, looked around, and I was talking to the person that was working there. I don't know if they're the owner. I don't know if they were the manager. I don't know, you know, anything. But we were just having a conversation about, you know, what people are coming in and buying. And she said that young kids, the kids that are like 10, 11, 12, those kids are coming in and they're buying PlayStation 1, PlayStation 2, Xbox. They want these older systems that you can't go online and download games for, that you have to buy physical games for. It's the equivalent of 20 years ago, you know, people saying, you know what, I want to go out and get a Nintendo Entertainment System. Now, when I did that 20 years ago, it was because I remembered playing Nintendo Entertainment System, and I remembered having that stack of games and all that stuff. But the younger kids that were doing it, they had never experienced that. So for them, it was the uniqueness of having that experience. You know, for us, it's nostalgia. For them, it's something different. And so the fact that these young kids are coming in and they're playing these systems that they have never played before, which, let's face it, if you're used to, you know, PlayStation 5 or computer gaming graphics, and you see how awesome those games look and how intuitive the controls are and just, the, you know, the how much more those games can do. And then you go back and you play a PlayStation 1 game. You're like, this is kind of like people played these things but that doesn't seem to matter to that younger generation. Like, they want to have that experience. It doesn't matter to them. It's like, you know, when you were playing PlayStation 1 and you went back and played 8-bit Nintendo games or Atari games or whatever, you know, you played them for what they were. You didn't get upset because they didn't look as good as your PlayStation games. You played them for what they were, and I think that's what this generation is doing. So, yeah, you're going to see a lot of those physical media forms gain popularity and traction again, not enough to the point where you're going to see them, you know, getting massively reproduced. I'm sure, you know, the number of physical copies of games that new publishers have been putting out are decreasing over the years, and I'm sure that won't change. You know, when you want to get the all new Madden game, you're probably getting a digital download these days. There's still some copies in the store if you want to go get them at the store, but most people are getting digital downloads. And that means that if GameStop can't just hold on and have that huge backstock of Xbox and PlayStation 2 games that they've got kicking around until people start coming in and buying those, if they're going to close up stores, well, that's going to open up that space for more of these independent stores to thrive. So I sold a bunch of my video games and video game systems. I had everything. I had ColecoVision and Intellivision, the Magnavox Odyssey, which was like one of the first home gaming systems. I had Atari's, Nintendo Entertainment System, Super Nintendo, Nintendo 64, PlayStation, PlayStation 2, PlayStation 3. And all that I kept was my PlayStation 4. I think I might have kept my PlayStation 3 too, because there was some games that I had for that. But, you know, generally, I had pretty much everything. I even had Virtual Boy, which nobody had one of those anymore. Nintendo's virtual reality system from the early 90s. And I sold them all off, along with some of those original games, you know, the TurboGrafx-16 games and Nintendo games, things like that. But I still have my PlayStation 1, PlayStation 2, PlayStation 3 games. And those are, you know, what people are looking for these days. So yeah, there's going to be independent stores that open up that sell those that are going to do all right for themselves. Are they going to become, you know, are they going to turn into GameStop? No. But they're going to be able to do all right. And I think we're seeing that change over now to where people do want more physical media. I would say it started with the book people, the readers. The people who said, no, part of the experience for me is holding a book in my hand. And it's not the same when I'm reading on a tablet or a Kindle or something like that. You know, everybody who was a voracious reader, somebody in their family bought them a Kindle and said, you're going to love this. And some might have used it. And I'm sure many others said, thank you. And, you know, just kept reading the physical books. But I think book people kind of led the way for the folks who are buying records, buying VHS tapes, buying CDs and cassettes. Because if anything ever happened and the internet was gone, so is your music collection. So is your video collection, your movie collection, you know, all of that stuff. Physical media means you don't have to worry about that. It means if you can't afford to pay the $300 a month cable bill, and your cable gets turned off, you can still pop a DVD in the DVD player and entertain yourself for a couple of hours. And I think the same thing's happening with the video games. And I think it's fascinating that these young kids are all about the gaming systems that those who live through them have left behind. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good, thanks. I'm not calling about the gaming thing. I actually was going to call before what's his name got on before 7 o'clock. I forget what his name is. That was always complaining about the city council and the mayor. But anyway, the reason I called was just to ask, has Mary called into the program? Because I haven't heard from her.
She actually did.
On the radio. I mean, I hope she's okay.
Yep, she actually did right after Gilly in the last hour.
Oh, okay. Well, unfortunately, I turned my radio off because I just, at that hour, I mean, beating the dead horse, I just couldn't deal with it. So it's too bad I missed her. Okay. Because, I mean, I haven't really heard her come on the last probably a good week, unless I've been missing her. And I was just wondering, I'm like, I know she usually calls in almost every day. And I'm like, oh, I wonder if the woman, I don't really know her, but I like listening to her when she calls. So I'm like, oh, I don't know if the woman's sick or something happened to her. But anyway, if Mary's hearing me, I'm glad everything's okay. And that was the only reason why I was calling, just to, you know, say that I hadn't heard her on the radio. But anyway, you have a good day, Tim, okay?
You too. Take care.
Yeah, bye.
And see, you know, the callers, they care about the other callers. They want to know if they haven't heard from you for a while. And, you know, we sit back and we find that fascinating because we feel the same way. We say, well, gee, I haven't heard from that person. I hope they're okay. The getting back to the physical media thing is, I do think that there's a different connection you have to something when you have a physical copy of it than when you can just access. Listen, I love streaming. I love the internet. I love being able to have anything I'm looking for when I'm looking for it. But I'm also a collector too. And I like having, you know, I've always just collected things and I like having the physical versions of things. So for example, you know, there's a movie that came out years ago called Dogma. I love the Kevin Smith movies but this one's been, you know, out of circulation because of Miramax and all of that kind of stuff. And so it kind of got lost in all of that. And they got the rights back to it. Kevin Smith got the rights back to it recently. And they put out a 4K restoration of it. And it sold out immediately in 4K Blu-ray form. They got some physical copies into Walmarts. The Walmart sold out of them almost immediately. And I was like, well, I want to get my hands on one. I haven't seen that movie in a long time. And I could have gone on Amazon and paid $14.99 and just watched it and owned a digital version of it. But I wanted to have the physical copy of it. So I put in my order and just waited. I believe it's arriving today. It was supposed to come at the end of the month, but they must have got them done faster. Amazon sent me an email and said it's out for delivery. So, but that's, you know, to me, that's now I have something that I wanted to have. You know, I went out and bought records over the weekend because I wanted to have those in my collection. What are the chances are that I'm going to, you know, sit there and go through them all and listen to them all the time? Who knows? But I have them. So that's what collecting is all about. And I've been a collector of things since I was a kid, and I don't think it's going to stop anytime soon. 508-996-0500. That's another one I should put on the list for a future Fun Friday question. What do you collect? So we've got misheard song lyrics and what do you collect? Those are coming up. And by the way, I did get the date for my surgery. It'll be the end of this month, the 27th. So I will be out for a couple of days that week, maybe. So that's a Tuesday. So maybe Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Maybe Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I don't know. We'll see what happens, but someone will be here. I think Brian asked if he could cover it. I know Paul is interested in covering some, so we'll, between the two, we'll figure something out. Somebody will be here, one way or the other. So I'm not going to subject you to having to listen to reruns of me. 508-996-0500, so we can talk about that. I didn't really want to bring that up necessarily, but I was just, you know, listening to Mike's report in the news about GameStop, and it got me thinking about that conversation I had on Saturday with the young kids buying up these older gaming systems. And we're lucky enough in this area that we have a bunch of places where you can go and buy that kind of stuff. We have a store that specializes in older games and game systems. Games to Gold on Nauset Street. So if that's something that you're interested in, you can go check that out. I've gone in there and looked at some of those systems and said, oh, should I start again? And I've wisely not gone down that rabbit hole. And I just got a message from Mary for that previous caller. And she says, thanks for mentioning her. And she wants you to have a wonderful day. All right, I'm going to take a break here. 508-996-0500. We can talk about physical media. We can talk about what went on in Minneapolis. We can talk about whatever's on your mind. But I got to go to a break. And then we'll have the news coming up in a little bit. And then after that, we'll have today's edition of the Gen X Files brought to you by Just Another Phoenix in Dartmouth. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Tim Weisberg Show. Call 508-996-0500.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby. Why can't you see what you're doing to me when you don't believe a word I say?
And happy heavenly birthday to the king. Elvis would have been 91 years old today. And every January 8th when I worked at the diner, every January 8th I would play nonstop Elvis music the whole time I was working back there in the kitchen. And especially when I worked at night, you know, the waitress who worked at night loved that because she was a huge Elvis fan. And so that, you know, January 8th, we would play Elvis all day, and August 16th, the anniversary of his death, we'd play music, Elvis music all day. So we'll play some more throughout the course of the morning today. Also, happy heavenly birthday to David Bowie. We'll play some David Bowie later as well. But right now, I want to talk to you about your kitchen. Because it's a great time of year to think about redoing your kitchen. To say, I want to get rid of this old cabinetry. I want to get something that looks a little bit fresher, a little bit more modern. Or maybe you want to get something that's a little bit more traditional. It looks classic, looks rustic, but isn't actually falling apart. It's brand new and just has that look of something vintage. Well, all that and more can happen if you reach out to Precision Window and Kitchen. They can also help you select all different styles of countertops and hardware to make your kitchen look exactly the way that you want it to look. They also supply and install windows and doors, so if you've got some drafts coming in as the weather's gotten colder, they can help you eliminate that. Go to precisionwindowandkitchen.com to find out more, or give them a call, 508-990-3576. All right, we're going to go into the news. When we come back on the other side, we'll have today's edition of the Gen X Files, but right now, let's turn things over to Mike Roberts.
A Massachusetts woman indicted in a New York stabbing President Trump, interested in Greenland and the most stressful airports.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
A Massachusetts woman accused of stabbing a tourist inside of a Manhattan Macy's store has been indicted.
Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg says Carrie Ahern is facing multiple charges, including attempted murder, assault, and endangering the welfare of a child. The 43-year-old woman is accused in the random stabbing of a California mother on December 11th inside a bathroom at Macy's flagship store. The 39-year-old victim was changing her baby's diaper at the time. Ahern had been released earlier that day from a psychiatric facility in New York, where she'd been held for more than a year for threatening to kill Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren. I'm Sarah Lee Kessler.
House Speaker Mike Johnson is urging Minneapolis citizens to remain calm after yesterday's deadly ICE shooting. The
Republican told reporters he had viewed the disturbing video and that it was a really sad outcome. Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem said the 37-year-old woman was protesting ICE when she allegedly rammed her car into federal agents. Johnson echoed Noem's claims, saying the woman weaponized the vehicle against the agents. He added the shooting was a result of anti-law enforcement rhetoric and people encouraging that kind of violence. The U.S. has seized two Venezuela-linked oil tankers. In a post on X, Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem said one was seized in the North Atlantic, another near the Caribbean. Both vessels were either docked in Venezuela or were heading to the country. Noem said the tanker seized in the Atlantic has been trying to evade the Coast Guard for weeks and even changed its flag and name. It comes after President Trump said Venezuela will turn over 30 to 50 million barrels of oil to the U.S. Nick Reiner's now ex-attorney says his former client is not guilty of murder. Celebrity attorney Alan Jackson said he withdrew from the case due to circumstances beyond his control. Reiner, whose arraignment was scheduled for yesterday, will now be represented by a public defender. The 32-year-old is charged with two counts of first-degree murder in the stabbing deaths of his parents, Rob and Michelle Reiner. President Trump is discussing a range of options to acquire Greenland. The discussions come as Trump revamps his interest in expansioning foreign policy. In the days following the capture of Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro, the White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt confirmed the matter in a statement and added that utilizing the U.S. military is always an option at the commander-in-chief's disposal. A new study identifies the airports where travelers need to arrive the earliest to avoid delays and stress.
The analysis by Luxury France Tours weighed TSA wait times, passenger volume relative to airport size, parking infrastructure, and flight delays. Denver International Airport tops the list due to its massive footprint, heavy traffic, and frequent delays. LAX ranks second due to complex operations, long TSA lines, and high passenger volume. Fox LA reports Orlando International and Charlotte Douglas also placed in the top five, mostly due to very long TSA wait times. I'm Sharon Reardon.
Researchers in Arizona say a mail-in finger prick blood test can accurately detect markers for Alzheimer's disease. The study out of Banner Health's fluid biomarker program in Sun City, Arizona, found that the simple mail-in blood test was just as effective in detecting brain damage associated with Alzheimer's as standard blood tests or spinal fluid taps. Dr. Nicholas Ashton, a senior researcher at the biomarker program, says that it ultimately is science moving toward a pathway of treating Alzheimer's disease before symptoms emerge. The study is published in the journal Nature Medicine. The NFL is celebrating its highest regular season television audience since 1989.
The Sports Business Journal reports last year games averaged nearly 19 million viewers, representing a 10% jump from 2024, boosted, they report, in part by Nielsen's expanded measurement of out-of-home viewing. CBS, NBC, and Prime Video each recorded their best full-season average audiences, while Fox saw its strongest viewership since 2015. NFL officials expect viewership will climb even higher during the playoffs, which typically outpace regular season audiences. I'm Scott Carr.
WBSM Sports, brought to you by John C. Law.
It was the Denver Nuggets over the Celtics, 114-110 last night. Seas will host the Raptors tomorrow at 7. Bruins and Flames skate tonight at 7.
Now your WPRI 12 forecast.
Sunny, a bit warmer today, mid-40s. Clear tonight, 30. Cloudy and wet tomorrow, 48 with showers. And rain on Saturday, 45. I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
Nintendo.
It's for breakfast now.
Nintendo.
It's a cereal.
Wow.
Nintendo. Super Mario. Jumps.
Nintendo.
In a fruit flavor crunch.
Nintendo.
It's very good news.
Nintendo.
You just can't lose. Nintendo cereal is a super part of this nutritious breakfast.
Nintendo.
It's for breakfast. Wow!
The Gen X Files.
All right, let's take a look at some of the events that mattered most to 80s and 90s kids on this date. The Gen X Files are brought to you by Just Another Phoenix in Dartmouth. We'll start with our celebrity birthdays. As we mentioned, a couple of posthumous but very important birthdays to note. Elvis Presley, the king of rock and roll, was born on this date in 1935, would have been 91 today. And the Thin White Duke, David Bowie, was born January 8th, 1947. He would have been 79. Shirley Bassey, who sang the Goldfinger theme song and other James Bond themes in the 1960s. She celebrates her 89th birthday today. Jerome Anthony Gordine, the lead singer of Little Anthony and the Imperials. He's 85. Doors guitarist Robbie Krieger turns 80. Loverboy lead singer Mike Reno is 71. Disgraced R&B singer R. Kelly is 59. Jamaican reggae and dancehall star Sean Paul, 53. Wicked star Cynthia Erivo turns 39. And actress Gabby Hoffman celebrates her 44th birthday today. Wait, isn't she that little kid that was in Sleepless in Seattle? Well, anyway. In 1972, Dennis Coffey becomes the first white performer on Soul Train performing his hit Scorpio. On this date in 1974, Kiss signed their first record deal with Casablanca Records. In 1979, Rush was named Canada's official ambassadors of music by the Canadian government. On January 8th, 1980, Prince made his national television debut, performing I Want to Be Your Lover and Why Do You Want to Treat Me So Bad on the NBC variety show Midnight Special. In 1987, the Dow Jones closed above 2,000 for the first time. In 1989, Richard Marx married Dirty Dancing actress Cynthia Rhodes, subject of his song Right Here Waiting. They divorced in 2014. I believe, isn't he married to Daisy Fuentes now? In 1991, Steve Clark of Def Leppard died of an accidental drug overdose at the age of 30. On this date in 1991, Jeremy Dell, a 15-year-old student at Richardson High School in Texas, shot himself in his English class. When Eddie Vedder reads about it, he writes the song Jeremy about Dell and other young people who have committed suicide in schools. In 1993, shortly after midnight on what would have been Elvis's 58th birthday, a 29-cent stamp with his image was officially dedicated in a ceremony at Graceland. I'll tell you the story coming up about the day that stamp came out. In 1996, Jacques Cousteau's Calypso was accidentally rammed by a barge and sank in Singapore Harbor. It was raised and is now in a museum in France. January 8, 2001, a woman who believed that Axl Rose communicated with her via telepathy was arrested for stalking the Guns N' Roses singer for a second time. Police detained Karen Jane McNeil after she was spotted loitering outside of Axl Rose's house. In 2002, President George W. Bush signed into law the bipartisan No Child Left Behind Act. In 2004, George Harrison's estate sued Dr. Gilbert Lederman of Staten Island University Hospital for $10 million, alleging he forced a dying Harrison to sign souvenirs for him.
Oh, you can't even sing.
Yeah, just sing the song, get some.
Ooh, baby, I like it, boy. Yeah, baby, I like it, boy.
In 2012, ooh, baby, rapper like Old Dirty Bastard's FBI file was released. Like the report detailed 9 arrests for the rapper, saying his group Wu-Tang Clan is, quote, heavily involved in the sale of illegal guns, weapons, possession, murder, carjacking, and other types of violent crime, which, of course, most of that wasn't true. In 2016, David Bowie's Black Star album was released on his 69th birthday. When Bowie died 2 days later, it became clear that his ruminations on mortality on the album were his parting words. That's the Gen X Files for January 8th, 2026, brought to you by Just Another Phoenix in Dartmouth, where you can join the Just Another Star Club Rewards Program, and you can earn yourself rewards on all the great food that you buy over there, including some of this week's specials, which, again, as we mentioned, they're trying to get you ready for the new year. So protein pancakes and the bodybuilder omelet may be on your radar for that. Or if you want to really treat yourself, peanut butter, banana, French toast. Why? Well, because today is Elvis's birthday, right? And Elvis loved peanut butter, banana, and bacon sandwiches. I used to make those every January 8th, too, at the diner. All right. Again, that's today's edition of the Gen X Files. I said I was going to mention the Elvis stamp story. So when that came out, it was, again, you know, 1993. So I was not old enough to drive yet. I was, 14, 15? And I just turned 50. And so I wanted to go down to the post office and get some of those first day of issue stamps. I never collected stamps, but I knew that first day of issue stamps were the collectible ones. And so I wanted to go down and get some of the Elvis stamps. And I asked my parents, I said, can somebody bring me down? We were off from school for some reason. I was going to say maybe it was a snow day, but it wasn't snowing. It was raining. I remember it was raining and it was slushy and it was gross. And so my parents weren't around to drive me down to the post office. So I hopped on my bicycle, lived in East Wareham at the time, over near where Percy's Place is in East Wareham. And the A.J. Marx Jewelers. The A.J. Marx Jewelers was built where my pool used to be. That house that's behind it, that's where I first lived when I moved to Wareham. And so I jumped on my bike and I rode from there down the Cranberry Highway to where Stop and Shop is now. It was then Purity Supreme. And that's where the post office was. The middle of that parking lot had another building. And there was a post office in there and a Payless Shoe Source and a couple of other stores. And so I went down to the post office and I got whatever change I had in my pocket. I wasn't 15. I was younger than that. So I went in there and I got whatever stamps I could with the change that I brought down. I still have them. I kept them in an envelope all these years, put them in my scrapbook. Still have them. I don't know if they're worth anything, but I'll always have the story of, you know, what I went through to get those first day of Elvis stamps. All right, 508-996-0500. Let me take a break here. We'll be back in a few moments.
This portion of programming on WBSM brought to you by South Coast Health. Advanced medicine, more care.
Okay, let's go. Top row, tell me what you see on the eye chart.
EYECARE.
Good. Next row.
AM America? iCareAmerica.org?
Yes. iCare America is a program that helps seniors 65 and older who haven't had a medical eye exam in 3 or more years. They also help those with an increased risk for glaucoma. And the appointment is often free or at no out-of-pocket cost. There are thousands of volunteer ophthalmologists throughout the United States, which means there's probably a participating doctor right where you live. To protect your eyes, early detection is key. So don't wait. It's easy to see if you qualify. Go to iCareAmerica.org today. That's EYECareAmerica.org.
1 in 6 black men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer in his lifetime, and we're more than twice as likely to die from the disease. Plus, a family history of prostate cancer can double your risk. We can do something about this. We can take control of our health, and that starts with talking to your doctor about getting screened for prostate cancer with a simple blood test. Because it's your life. And when prostate cancer is caught early, it's highly treatable. We need to do this for ourselves, for our families, and for future generations. If you want more info on how to take action, the Prostate Cancer Foundation is here to help. For more than 30 years, PCF has funded cutting-edge research that speeds new treatments into clinics, helping patients live longer with fewer complications. Go to pcf.org/knowyourrisk today to learn more about prostate cancer and how you can advocate for yourself. Remember, it's your life.
I wanted to quit for so long, but I didn't know where to start.
I was afraid of what people would think, but then I found the right support to start my recovery journey.
I found a path that worked for me.
1 in 14 Americans reports experiencing a substance use disorder, a treatable medical condition. Treatment can take many forms, so there are a variety of options to explore and find the one that works best for you. Recovery from drug addiction is possible. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various paths to recovery.
Waking up with the Tim Meisberg Show. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app.
Taking you nowhere.
Angel, come
love, baby. Look at that sky, life's begun. Nights are warm and the days are young.
Come love, baby.
Lose my feet and lost my soul.
If you ever get the chance, listen to that song with a good pair of headphones on. There's a lot going on in that song. And it's all something different, but it all comes together, sounding great. One of my favorite David Bowie songs. And it was the theme song to a TV show that had it was a summer, back in the day, kids, TV seasons, and we had a caller mention this the other day, TV seasons ran 22 episodes. So you got 22 episodes a year. And that was true of sitcoms. That was true of dramas. You got 22 episodes a year, at least. It was usually 22 to like 28. Some shows even had like 30-something episodes in a season. Now, you know, a season is 4 episodes on Netflix, you know. But in those days, you would go from September until like May. They'd have some time off around the holidays. But, you know, and you would get maybe a few reruns here and there during the course of the season, but generally from September to May, you got new shows. And then in the summertime, they would either have reruns, like, for example, the show Lost actually didn't get a huge audience right out of the gate. Where Lost picked up steam and where I got on board with it too was the summer reruns. When they finished the season and then they started it up again in the summertime and ran them all again, that's when people really got into it, because then they weren't interrupted with, you know, Monday Night Football. Not that it was on Monday nights, but you know what I mean? Like all the stuff that happens seasonally that would make you wait, like Lost will return in 2 weeks. You didn't have to deal with that. You got every episode one right after the other. And so, and that's really kind of the last show I can remember in summer reruns, because they started doing these summer seasons of shows. So you had your regular show, and then you had your summer show. And that wasn't really a new concept. Summer replacement shows go back forever. I remember Police Squad was a summer replacement show one year. They actually took the original Police Squad when the Naked Gun movies were popular. I think it was after the second one came out. They took the old Police Squad show that didn't last very long, and they ran it during the summertime. They would have, like, game shows. There was a Monopoly game show that was a summer replacement show. I remember all these. And one summer, CBS had, I think it was summer of 91, 90 or 91, CBS had a show called Golden Years. It was Stephen King's Golden Years. It was a show that he wrote, and it was about a guy who was, you know, aging in reverse after some sort of experiment. And that was the theme song for it, of course, and there's a long explanation to just get back to that song. Trembley Bus Company desperately needs school bus drivers, monitors, and van drivers. Driving a school bus or a van is a great job for retirees, for stay-at-home parents, or anyone looking to earn great pay while supporting local students. If you're interested but don't have your CDL, they're willing to train you if you're willing to learn. For more info, just visit tbcbus.com, TBC for Trembley Bus Company, tbcbus.com. Join Trembley Bus Company today and help our kids get to school and help put some good money in your pocket. TBCBus.com. Got some AppChat messages. I did get some AppChat messages complaining about Gilly, but I'm not going to get into those. Got one that said, DSY says, yesterday was an outright murder. That ICE idiot was in no danger of death. Three shots. Come on, Trump is really off his rocker in his post. And I was talking about that earlier. Is, you know, people are going to look at that video and they're going to make assumptions. They're going to draw conclusions. They're going to have their opinions based on what they see in that video. But what it really comes down to is, was that agent's life in, or the life of other people at the scene, in danger? And when I look at that, I say, no, this person was trying to execute a 3-point turn and drive away. That ICE agent actually put himself in front of the vehicle. And that's part of, you know, the use of force is, did you put yourself in that dangerous situation when you didn't need to? And the way he walked around the vehicle and came around the front and stayed in the front, he put himself in danger. Now, he might have done that because he said, if I stand here, that keeps her from taking off. But to me, when I'm looking at it, it looks like he walks around and he has his gun drawn and he's ready and he was waiting for his chance. I'm not saying that he went in with an intent to murder somebody, but he was waiting for if he had to take that shot. And so that's what's going to happen, is that they're going to have to look at that and make that determination based on that. But what I think, what a lot of people, at least, you know, normal, rational people can look at, is the information put out by President Trump and by Secretary Kristi Noem was not an accurate representation of what happened and was not an accurate representation of who Renee Nicole Good was. 508-996-0500. I can take a quick call here. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning. Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. What your thoughts on that last night? I mean, I could take a guess at what your thoughts are. Just knowing you well enough, but
oh, you don't know me.
I guess assuming I don't know, but I watched it last night too, and I'm wondering. Like, I had heard somewhere, and I don't know if you or read somewhere, I don't know if you had read the same thing, that woman had been following them for quite some time.
I mean, I've seen people claiming that, but there's no proof of it. But even if it was, that doesn't excuse what happened.
Well, she shouldn't have tried to run over a cop.
She didn't try to run over a cop. She was trying to pull away. Nothing in that nothing in that video indicates she was driving toward that cop. Her wheels were turned in the other direction.
Yeah. I don't know. If I was a cop,
also you know what I do when a car is driving toward me? I move out of the way. I don't pull out my gun.
What do you do when a policeman pulls you over and asks you for your identification?
So one of the officers told her to get away, told her to leave. So she started driving away. Then another one comes over and grabs the door and tells her to get the F out of the car. It was his exact words. And so when you're in that situation, what are you going to do? She's trying to pull away. She's trying to drive away.
Well, I guess that would, I don't know, looking at the entire context of the day, was she harassing them for a while?
And also, not getting out of the car when a police officer tells you to get out of the car does not justify that police officer shooting you in the face.
No, but, you know, split-second decisions, if you feel that your life is in danger and she's backing up and she's coming at you.
Part of those split-second decisions also involved deciding what the risk factor is if you take that shot, when you had ICE agents standing in close proximity to her, bystanders right behind her, and you didn't know what that vehicle was going to do if she was obviously already in the act of taking off when you shot her. Who knew where that vehicle was going to end up going? And so is that risk? Basically, at that point, what you're doing is you're letting her get away, because she wasn't driving over anybody. She was getting away.
Or she might have been trying to drive into them. That's that split-second decision thing.
Yeah, she wasn't trying to drive into him, and you shouldn't have even made that assumption if you're standing in front of her because you can see the direction her car is going in.
All right. I know. All right. Moving on.
So you knew what I was going to say about this already. I knew exactly what you were going to say already. I knew you were going to blame it on this woman and be convinced that what this ICE officer did had to have been the right thing.
Well, we all have decisions to make, and
because the minute you heard that she was following them around, you already made up your mind about who she was and what kind of person she was, and then so you're going to say that she deserved it. You're going to say that she was somebody that, you know, effed around and found out.
No, I'm not going to say she deserved it. I mean, we make decisions in life, and sometimes we make wrong decisions.
And so I think that's what's going to end up coming out of this, is that this officer made the wrong decision. Now, whether or not he'll face any consequences for that remains to be seen.
Or maybe she made the wrong decision by harassing ICE agents just trying to do their job.
It doesn't matter if she harassed ICE agents trying to do their job. You don't get murdered for that. You don't get shot in the face for that.
She did. So, you know.
Well, then I guess by your logic, Ashley Babbitt deserved it too then.
No, she was actually just standing there. She, you know, but like I said, moving on. The political reaction to it. Do you think that it was responsible for? What do you take from Tim Walz saying that he might activate the Minnesota National Guard to protect the residents?
Yeah,
do you think that's a responsible thing to do?
Yeah, because they're worried about what might happen as a result of this. I mean, it's not like Minneapolis hasn't had problems before.
So you think that he's going to activate the National Guard to go against ICE?
No.
To protect the people from ICE?
He wants to call in the National Guard to maintain order, to keep them from, to keep this from turning into violent outbursts across the city.
All right, maybe I missed that part because I don't think I caught.